You are listening to the season finale episode, episode 528 of the Latina Mom Legacy Podcast. Have you ever heard of biliary dyskinesia? In this episode, I'll be opening up about my recent diagnosis, discussing the symptoms I've experienced, and sharing the steps I'm taking to manage it. My hope is that by sharing my journey, it may offer support or guidance to anyone else that may be experiencing similar challenges or has a loved one going through a similar experience. Yo, a bilingual parenting educator, author, and multilingual parenting mom, te invito to listen to my story. Así que no te lo pierdas. Hola, hola, ¿cómo estás? I hope that you're doing well. I hope that life is treating you kind. Welcome to another episode of the Latina Mom Legacy Podcast. I am your host, Jenny Perez, here in the last episode of the season. Yeah, I know, a surprise to you and me both, but that's where we're at. If you want to connect with me, you can do so by hitting me up on the gram, on Instagram. I know I haven't been on there much lately, but I still go in and check my DMs. And those of you that send me messages, I do make sure to check them at least once a day. So you can connect with me there. That is at Mi Legacy, spelled M-I-L-E-G-A-S-I. Or you can subscribe to the Mi Legacy newsletter at milegacy.com, where you will get a weekly newsletter with tips, with recommendations on toys, books. My goal is to empower you as a parent to raise bilingual kids connected to their roots. Lots to talk about today, especially what's been going on with me. And I'm happy to share that in hopes that it'll empower you or perhaps a loved one. I'm a firm believer that the universe, God, call it what you want, sometimes presents things for us that we may need or will need. But perhaps when it happens, we don't know in that moment why we need it, right? We don't really even think about it or even notice it half the time. Well, a few months ago, I was approached by today's sponsor, Tadin Teas. Now, you know, I'm not a big tea drinker. I'm a 100% cafecito loving girl. Well, anyway, they approached me to collaborate and they had sent me some teas and the teas were actually really good. My husband liked them. Victoria liked them. And I was like, you know, okay, I'll collaborate because they are a familia-owned, minority-owned company based out of Los Angeles. And I love to support mi gente. So I was like, yeah, sure, let's collaborate. Well, throughout this whole ordeal of all my health concerns and what I've been going through over the past few weeks, all I can say is that they have been a hidden gem. I, unfortunately, am no longer able to drink coffee as I used to. I'm so sad. But Tadin Teas has been my go-to drink to provide me comfort during this time. I personally love the chamomile and the seven blossoms tea, but they have others like organic hibiscus, organic elderberry, and the organic green tea, which I can't really drink because it has caffeine, but I know my husband likes green tea. So for those of you that like green tea, they have a great blend. So I must thank Tadin Teas for making their way into my life because realmente, sin saberlo, lo necesitaba. I really needed it. You can shop Tadin Teas at tadin.com, and that's spelled T-A-D-I-N.com, or you can conveniently buy them on Amazon. So thank you, Tadin. Okay, so let's get to it. What is it that I have? I have been diagnosed with biliary hyperkinesia. And you're like, what? Okay. I know, that's how I felt. Believe me, that's how I felt. So let me back up. Let me give you a brief history of where this started and where I'm at now, right? So this all started 4 years ago with a visit to the ER. Back then, I thought I was having appendicitis. And the irony of this is that when I went to the hospital was also the day that my dad was admitted for COVID back in 2020. And unfortunately, my dad, during that time, he passed away 7 days later after he was admitted. I was going through all this when I was grieving for my dad. But I think that the human body is just like, I don't know. I think like when grief is so powerful that you kind of suppress emotion and feeling and you kind of become like literally numb. So I just kind of, with that whole ordeal, my body kind of became numb. Now at the time they thought that I had an ovarian cyst, which I did have, but my problems consisted and they continued for years. I mean, that was back in 2020. So my symptoms continued for years. And in 2023, which was last year, I went to urgent care a few times. They did ultrasounds, they did blood work, they did a colonoscopy. They did everything. I know I mentioned this on the podcast at some point that I wasn't feeling well. I was having like just a lot of kind of like abdominal pain, and it was kind of like on my right side. So it was like kind of under my rib cage, but it would radiate down to like my right ovary, like my whole right side. I just constantly felt like uncomfortable. And when I did have these episodes, it just felt like something inside of me was going to like burst, or something was like not right. And they did all these tests. They ran everything, and everything came out great. My blood work came out great. My tests came out great. The only thing that they thought that I had was potentially an intestinal bacterial infection. And they said that potentially that could have been the cause to all of these other problems, right? So I was like, well, at least they think I had something, but it's going away. Well, it didn't go away, and it never went away, because while the flare-ups, I would have like these flare-ups, these moments where the pain was kind of unbearable, I was still consistently like not feeling great. Like it was just like, I just had like this constant dull pain on my right side, and it didn't matter like what I ate, or it just like kind of was there. And I was just like, okay, I know I'm not crazy, but I don't think that this feels normal. So a few weeks ago, I had another episode, and this was right around the time of Easter. And I had another episode to the point where I thought I was going to have to go to the hospital again. But I had a virtual visit because I was like, I've already been to the hospital, I've been to urgent care various times for this. And every time they tell me I'm fine. So I don't want to go and have to like go through the emergency room, all the ordeal, if they're going to tell me that I have nothing. So I had the virtual visit. And long story short, he just recommended that I be on probiotics and that I follow up with my doctor. So I followed up with my doctor. She was great, by the way, because throughout this whole idea, I like changed doctors because I'm like, okay, they can't find anything. I need to find somebody that's going to advocate for my health. In addition to myself advocating for me, I need to find somebody that doesn't think I'm like crazy, right? So I found this new doctor. She was wonderful. She ran all these tests. Again, everything coming out great. My cholesterol, as I mentioned last week, came out great. Everything came out great. So my doctor referred me to a gastroenterologist, a GI doctor. So he had me do more tests, and he had me do two tests. So the first test he had me do was an endoscopy, and then the second test that he had me do was a HIDA scan. Oh, and they also did a CT scan. So they did all of these things, and everything came out normal, like nothing was wrong, with the exception of the HIDA. And the way that you prepare for this HIDA scan is that the night before this test, or depending on what time you're doing it, like 6 hours before, they have you eat a high fatty meal. So they literally told me you need to eat a cheeseburger with fries and maybe a milkshake for dinner. I was like, what? I'm like, you're gonna have me eat that? Because apparently the more fat you have, that is how they can check your gallbladder. Now, the HIDA scan is a nuclear scan that they do. They make you take like this nuclear medicine where you kind of glow on the inside. It's a long test. It's a 2-hour test. You have to go to the hospital and they inject you with the nuclear medicine so that they can see your insides. And then an hour later, as long as your organs show up, they inject you with a hormone called CCK. And it's short for something, but I don't know like the medical term, but they inject you with this hormone. And what this hormone does is that it kind of activates your gallbladder and it triggers it. So it starts to like kind of like pump or spasm. And what it does is that it calculates the ejection rate of your bile. So your gallbladder holds like this substance called bile, bilis, and they calculate the ejection rate, right? So I had that done, test came back, and it was quote normal. So went back to the doctor. The doctor said, well, I'm going to refer you to a surgeon, to a bariatric surgeon to see you, because at this point, nothing shows up and I just want to hear what he says. And when I went to the surgeon, a very nice gentleman, when I went to see the surgeon, he diagnosed me with biliary hyperkinesia. He basically said that the normal ejection rate can be anywhere from 20 to 30% to 80%. My ejection rate was at 94%. And I was like, okay, I guess that must be good, right? And he said that was not good, that basically means that your gallbladder is hyperactive. Okay, so what technically is biliary hyperkinesia? So biliary hyperkinesia is also known as hyperkinetic biliary dyskinesia. It is an uncommon disorder characterized by abnormal or excessive contractions of the gallbladder and bile duct. So this has to do with, again, the secretion rate. What I was saying, that your gallbladder kind of has like the bile and then it secretes it, it empties out. And in most people, it has a range. Now, I'm at a 94% ejection rate. Now, this condition can result in symptoms similar to those of gallbladder disease, such as abdominal pain, nausea, vomiting, and digestive disturbances. For me, I've had pain on a scale of 1 to 10, ranging from 3 to 9 on a daily basis for about the past 4 years. And this is like not all the time, but all these symptoms kind of come and go depending on what I eat. So I can have gas, I can have bloating, I can have like belching, which is like, oh, headaches, fatigue, chills, heartburn, nausea, and actually, believe it or not, itchiness. Another symptom is that you have radiating pain because once it contracts, it puts pressure on a nerve. And some people experience pain that goes from the upper shoulder down to their lower right arm or their lower right side, which is really all that I was experiencing. So I was having like pain in my hands and my arms. And I thought it was from the computer from typing, but it turns out to be that it is very likely from my gallbladder being overactive and putting this pressure on this nerve. So it's just very interesting. So unlike gallstones or inflammation of the gallbladder, biliary hyperkinesia typically does not involve structural abnormalities or blockages in the bile ducts. So your gallbladder is a small organ and it has like these little branches. And some people get like gallstones or they get thickening of the gallbladder, or sometimes the gallbladder becomes enlarged or inflamed. And these are all signs of gallbladder disease. And many times the surgeons will recommend surgery because they see this on the scans or on these tests that they run. However, for me, they haven't found any stones. Everything looks clean. Everything looks picture perfect. But I feel like crap. And when I have these episodes, I just feel crap for days, sometimes weeks. And this last one was probably the worst out of all the episodes that I've had, where I'm seriously concerned for my health. So how is this treated? So they diagnose this based on symptoms and tests like the HIDA scan to assess the motility of the gallbladder and the bile duct. So basically how the gallbladder functions. And in my case, the HIDA scan was what showed that my gallbladder was kind of abnormal in terms of ejection rate. I will say that not many or not all doctors will recognize this condition. And even when they read the scan, it read everything came out normal, but it's not normal. It's not a condition that, first of all, it's kind of rare. So my doctor, my surgeon said that out of hundreds of patients that he sees a year, he sees one patient with this. And I was like, wow, I kind of feel special. And he started laughing because, I mean, it's not something that's very common. And it's just, they don't have kind of a solution, which brings me to my next point. How is this treated? So treatment for biliary hyperkinesia may include dietary modifications, medications to control symptoms, and in some cases, surgical removal of the gallbladder. Where am I at? So I was recently diagnosed with this, and I have opted for now not to have surgery. I really want to try to take a look at diet and see if there are any patterns that I can see in diet in terms of any triggers. I will be seeing a dietitian over the next few days. I also have appointments with my doctors to undergo further testing because I really want to take a look at the big picture, because I don't know if this is something that it's just the gallbladder or if it's something bigger, if it's something that has to do maybe with my hormones or if it has to do with what I'm eating or with if it has to do with, I don't know. At this point, I'm just really hesitant on having gallbladder surgery because the gallbladder, from my understanding, is needed. The gallbladder processes fats and proteins, and it's also the organ that helps absorb some valuable nutrients like vitamin A, vitamin E, vitamin K. And sometimes doctors don't tell you this. That being said, my doctor did assure me that the body doesn't stop producing bile. And bile is kind of like what breaks down the fat and the protein. So your liver continues to produce the bile. And the body is kind of amazing because, so the branches, like I told you, the branches that are kind of connected to the gallbladder, they're small. So like my branches, my bile ducts are about 2 millimeters wide. And he said that if I were to remove the gallbladder throughout the years, they kind of stretch and get bigger. And he said, like maybe in a couple years, they'll probably grow to be 5 millimeters. They'll double in size, again, to accommodate that extra bile. The body's kind of accommodating itself for that bile. So I thought that was really kind of fascinating. So before I decide on anything else, I started using the Endive app. Now, the Endive app is a food log app, but it also tracks symptoms. So I love it because I'm able to, and it's free. I mean, they do have a paid version. I'm using the free version now where I can simply put in what I eat and kind of track my symptoms in hopes that this will help my dietitian kind of formulate a plan for me and see, are there any triggers? Is there anything that's making me feel better or worse? So that is a great app, and that is spelled E-N-D-I-V-E. That's Endive app. The other thing that I'm doing is taking a break from the podcast. So this is the last episode of the season. It's not really how I planned it, but my health comes first. And I know that you, especially my longtime listener, I know that you understand this. I know that we have to put our oxygen mask on first for ourselves before we can put it on our kids, right? And I feel like I'm here, but I'm struggling a bit. And I want to be the best mom and the best wife and the best friend and also the best podcaster for you that I can be. And right now, I am not that person. There's just a lot going on. And I need to be able to look at my life and look at the areas where I can cut back. And unfortunately, as much as I love the podcast is taxing. It's a lot that goes on behind the scenes that you don't always see. And I need to save time so that I can save time for myself and my health and my family. So I know that you understand this. But that being said, I am going to continue with the newsletter because that is something that I love doing every week as long as I can, because it's something that doesn't take a whole lot of time. It takes some time, but I can do it throughout the week. I don't have a team that does the newsletter. It's all me. All the recommendations are genuine. All the articles are stuff that I see and continue to read. And I really want to empower you, and even the printables that I offer. I really want to empower you to continue to raise bilinguals, to continue to raise kids connected to their roots, so you can continue to see me in your newsletter. So for now, that is what I am doing. Let's talk about where to get support and what are some coping strategies. So the best thing that I can tell you is, one, you have to become your own advocate. Do your research and inform yourself. So I gotta be honest, and my GI doctor basically said, oh, you can just take out your gallbladder. It's not necessarily needed. But upon further review and upon further research, I'm beginning to understand that the gallbladder is actually an organ that you really kind of need. It does have a function, and it's not that you can't live without it. It's just that you should be able to understand the big picture and how this impacts your body and your health long term. I can tell you that my mom had her gallbladder removed, and I didn't know till like recently. I was like, Mom, really? Like, you didn't know this? But I feel like she has like all the ailments under the sun, and I don't know if this is byproduct of her having the gallbladder removed or not, or she's just has all these ailments. But you want to inform yourself. I know that my sister-in-law also had her gallbladder removed. She cannot eat fatty foods, anything that's fried or that has, I mean, not that I necessarily eat a lot of fried food, to be honest, but you want to enjoy a burger. You want to enjoy una arepa con queso, una reina pepiada every once in a while, right? And you know that I'm a foodie, so you know I'm suffering right now. Que no puedo comer. So, like, she can't eat foods that are high in fat. And I'm just like, you really have to see the whole picture. I met somebody today, one of my neighbors, and I was kind of talking to her. And she said, you know, I had my gallbladder removed decades ago, and I'm fine. And she was like, take it out. You don't need it. Best decision that I've made. You're not going to miss it. I'm fine. I eat just about everything, and I have no problems. So what I'm seeing is that It really is a case-by-case basis. If you know somebody that needs to have their gallbladder removed or is considering having their gallbladder removed, whether they have a biliary dyskinesia, whether they have gallbladder disease, or they have problems with their gallbladder, with their vesícula, by the way, that's what it's called in Spanish. So if you're having problems con la vesícula, it impacts people differently. And you really have to make an informed decision and understand that the chances of it going well may be great or not. It's just, it kind of varies, and it's kind of like flipping a coin, I feel. So that's why I'm just like, I don't know what to do, but I'm going to try to keep my organs for now. So one is be your own advocate. Two, join a Facebook group. I'm hardly ever on Facebook because, to be honest, I'm like never on Facebook except for the groups. I love the groups. So I joined the Hyperkinetic Gallbladders group and the Biliary Dyskinesia and Hyperkinetic Gallbladder Support group. That's a mouthful. So I joined those two groups because they don't have a lot of members, but again, you find solace. You read stuff that people are going through, you kind of share what you're going through, and it helps you make informed decisions, right? And if anything, it offers you comfort to know that there are other people in the world going through the same thing that you're going through, and that no, you are not crazy, like I was beginning to think, estás loca, that you are going through something. And the last thing that I'll say is how to cope is concerning mental health. I'm a positive person. I try to be a positive person. I try to have a positive outlook in life. I know that con Diosito a mi lado, that with my creator, I know that we'll get through this. And I know that he or she will empower me with all the decisions that I need to get control of my health again. That being said, this is hard. This is something that I don't wish upon anybody. I'm very happy and grateful that I finally, after 4 years, know what I have. That is like the biggest blessing that God has given me over the past few weeks, is really understanding that there are people that have this, that this is an actual condition. That being said, this is hard, and this is hard on you. This is hard on your family. This is hard on those around you, because when you don't feel like your normal self, you get irritable, you get cranky. When you don't feel well, you don't want to go out. I have to force myself to go on a walk with the dog. I have to force myself to do certain things, because otherwise it's very easy to get in that negative like consumption of feeling sad, feeling ill, because when you're ill, it brings you to a lower energetic state. You really want to try to do things that kind of uplift you and kind of counteract that low energy state. So for me, as I mentioned last week, it's watching a funny movie, listening to something that uplifts me. Lately, we've been watching a lot of Sheldon. That's kind of been my go-to thing with Victoria. I haven't been feeling well enough to like play with her like I normally play, do the things that I normally do with her. I feel like our relationship is a little bit different. And also, I'm concerned for her mental health, obviously, because this takes a toll on her. This is not her vibrant mom that she's used to. This is not her mom that's always go, go, go. She's not used to seeing me lying down throughout the week and acostada o que no me siento bien. Even just watching TV, like that is not something that she's used to seeing me do, but we're able to kind of manage this together. She knows that she's there for me and I'm there for her. Maybe not as I would like to be with the same amount of energy, right? I am there for her in other ways, spending time together. And to me, that's important, because you really want to, even if you're sick, even if you're feeling bad. I know that there are days where I feel very nauseous. Everything kind of upsets my stomach, and it's just a very unpleasant feeling. And it's hard to be around others when you feel like that. And it's easy to take it out on others. And I know that I'm working hard on not taking it out on my husband, not being super cranky with or short-tempered with my daughter, because, and I apologize if I have been to them, because it's not an easy thing. So definitely want to make sure that you are keeping your mental health in mind when you're going through any health concerns or anything that is affecting your health. My last tip, the last thing that I will say, is listen to your instincts. Be your number one advocate. And if you deep inside feel that something is wrong with you, that something doesn't feel right, listen, you keep pushing, you keep fighting to get tests done, you keep nagging. Okay, this is your body. This is your health. Nobody can make you feel what you feel. And if you don't advocate for yourself, who will. Don't let them tell you, no tienes nada. If you feel like there is something wrong with you, keep investigating, keep researching, keep doing your homework, okay, until you get down to the bottom of it. I feel like I'm at the beginning of this because this is something very recent for me, and I still have a long road ahead while I kind of figure out what to do next. But at least I have a diagnosis. At least I know what I'm dealing with, and we'll figure it out. Trust your instincts. If something is telling you that it's not right, listen to that inner voice. Listen to that little voice, that gut feeling that's telling you, keep pushing, keep calling, keep nagging, because something is wrong or something is off. That is all I have for you today. Thank you for listening to my story and supporting me in this journey. Thank you for listening to another episode of the Latina Mom Legacy Podcast. The best way that you can support me during this time, you don't need to buy anything. You don't need to do anything. The only thing that I'm asking you is to subscribe to my newsletter just so that we can continue to be in the know. And yes, you can reply and I'll reply. The best way that you can support a loved one that may be going through something similar, whether it's gallbladder disease, hyperkinesia, hyperkinetic gallbladder, or any gallbladder problems, is to share this episode in hopes that it can provide useful information. A special thanks to our show sponsor, Tadin Teas. Be sure to check them out at tadin.com. Mil gracias. I'll see you in the newsletter. Y hasta la próxima. Ciao, ciao.